Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we are going to open our Bibles this morning. Praise God. The title for today's message is Waiting Patiently. Waiting Patiently. And I'm going to pray in just a moment. But before I do that, I would like to ask for prayer for myself as well. You know, last month, at the end of the month there, I had a hemorrhage in my right eye, and it was actually a little disconcerting because I could barely see out of my right eye for a time, and thankfully my vision has improved significantly since then. That actually happened right after I wrote the last newsletter, but you know, when you have a hemorrhage like that, it takes a while for it to clear completely, and you end up with these floaters in your eye, and I've had them for almost a month now, and I'm getting a little tired of them. I just get tired of looking at them. So if you could pray for me that they would go away, I would appreciate that so very much. And I'm just trusting the Lord to help me with this. And I know right now I'm writing another newsletter. And that's quite a bit of work. And it can be a little more difficult when you have these floaters. It's a little harder to look at a computer screen. But I believe the Lord will help me. And actually, I'm on page 2 of the newsletter right now, and let me tell you, there is a lot of ground to cover in that newsletter. I am thankful, though, that the Lord has really been using the newsletter lately. It's been having a tremendous impact on people, and we've been hearing from a lot of people all over the world who appreciate that newsletter so very much, and I'm just thankful that the Lord has enabled us to continue publishing it. It's not always easy to do those things nowadays. There's so much uncertainty, even with the post office and these stay-at-home orders and restrictions. You know, when they first announced the restrictions here in the state of Wisconsin, we weren't sure if we'd even be able to mail the newsletter. But thankfully, we were able to do that. And Lord willing, we'll be able to mail this next one, too, when it's finished. So please keep me in prayer regarding that as well. I'm hoping to have it finished on Monday or Tuesday, but I still have a lot of ground to cover, so I do need the Lord's help with that as well. But we're going to open with a prayer now before we begin in Scripture here today. Let's call on the Lord right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer, believing in thy promises, knowing full well that thou art the rock of our salvation. And we pray, Lord, that thou would help us all to turn to thee in faith. Help us, O God, to reach out to thee. Help us, O God, to seek thee with a whole heart. And we pray, Lord, that thy spirit would be upon thy people here this day. We pray, Lord, that thou would give us the spirit of discernment and understanding. We pray, O God, that thou would help us to comprehend thy word. Help us to be firmly fixed on thee. Let our minds be completely focused on thee here this day. Let there be no distractions, but we ask, Lord, that thou would help us, O God, to turn our eyes upon thee, upon thy word. We pray, Lord, that all that is in the world would fade away and that we would be able to feel and comprehend thy glory, thy power, thy might. We ask, O God, that thou would move upon us in a mighty way, that thou would touch each and every one of us. Help us, O God, as we look upon thy blessed scripture. And we pray, Lord, that there be no hindrances here this morning. What we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well, O God, that thou art sovereign. We know that the name of Jesus is the name above every name. And we know that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we pray, Lord, that thou would have free course here today. Let thy spirit have free course. We pray, O God, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. We ask this. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Waiting patiently. That is the title of the message today. We're going to begin in Psalm 37. But before we do that, I just want to say a few things. You know, we live in a time period right now that I think is testing everyone's patience. Quite frankly, many people are getting tired of being cooped up at home, tired of not working their jobs, and it's difficult. I saw a news story just last night saying that quarantine fatigue is setting in, and that's not surprising. People want to go out, they want to be productive, they want to do things, And right now we're very much restrained. And you could say that a lot of people are losing their patience. And we're starting to see protests erupt all over the world. In some cases, in some of these countries, there are riots now too. It's a very serious situation, which could grow even worse in the coming days when we consider all that is happening right now in this world. You know, the economy in the United States has been completely demolished by this outbreak. But not just the United States, other economies around the world. They're saying the entire global economy is going to crash. Well, that's one of the things about having globalism nowadays. When one economy fails, then the rest of them start to fall like dominoes. But the unemployment rate continues to rise in this country, and of course, they're introducing massive amounts of debt into the American economy, trillions of dollars. You know, they used to spend millions of dollars at a time. It seemed like a lot of money. $1 million nowadays isn't very much money anymore compared to what it used to be. Then they were spending billions. Now they're spending trillions at a time. You know, you can't even quantify in your mind what a trillion of anything looks like. That is to say, you can't look at it in your mind and picture it and try to picture what a trillion looks like. Your mind cannot comprehend it because it is such a large number. And then we have the national debt, which I think at this point is around $25 trillion and rising. Of course, I've said for a long time that I believe this economy, the way it's designed, it was designed to fail because what they want to do eventually is establish a new global economy, a new one-world cashless society, a new monetary system. And I think some of the things we're seeing right now indicates that they're trying to make a move towards pushing the world in that direction right now. And we know in recent days, Nancy Pelosi proposed a new monetary system in the United States, digital dollars. She wanted to give every American citizen a digital wallet. And, you know, who knows, it probably would have eventually superseded physical currency and they would have phased it out. And perhaps one day they would have even said, well, you have to have a little chip in your hand if you want to access it. Wouldn't surprise me. But we see all of these things happening. The economy is in turmoil. And now they're saying that there's going to be food shortages all over the world. And in the United States right now, meat packing plants are dropping like flies. They're closing them up. They're saying that we're going to have shortages of meat very soon at the supermarkets. And one report read that in as little as a week, you could find it difficult to find even ground beef. And, you know, if you buy meat, and not everybody does, some people are vegetarians, and that's fine, but if you buy meat, you probably notice the cost has gone way up. And they're saying there's going to be shortages very soon. But that's just one of the problems, one of the pressures on the food supply in this world right now. You know, a few newsletters ago, I'm not sure if it was two or three newsletters ago now, but I wrote about the problem with locusts plaguing Africa. These massive, massive locust flocks that were decimating crops and fields all over the African continent. And now there are more of them. They are worse than ever. And now they're saying that millions upon millions upon millions of people are at risk of famine and starvation. And these locusts can eat an entire field in 30 seconds. Some of these flocks of locusts, some of these swarms are the size of entire cities, large cities, and they just go in there and they destroy every bit of vegetation in their path. Of course, if you read the Word of God, you'll see that's one of the things that He uses to judge people who are sinful. Of course, He used that against the Egyptians when they were troubling the Israelites, and the Israelites were living in captivity. But yes, this world is in trouble, and people are losing their patience. But patience is something that's very important. Patience is something that God deeply appreciates. It's something that He looks for in His people. It's one of the traits that He wants to see in His people. Patience. And all throughout the Bible, you can read stories of people who had to demonstrate great patience. In fact, we looked at one last week. A man named Noah was told to build an ark because a flood was coming. And a flood did come. And thankfully, the Lord was merciful because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But he had to stay on that boat for 370 days. And people think we have it bad now, but can you imagine staying on a boat, being completely unable to go out for 370 days? That took great patience. Patience is a trait that God looks for. You can see other examples of great patience. You know, Abraham was promised that he would have a great seed, that God would raise up a great seed, that his descendants would be more than could be numbered. But he had to wait until he was 100 years old and his wife was 99 until they had the promised child named Isaac. That took great patience, didn't it? Of course, we know that the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt for 430 years. That took great patience. And then after that, they had to wander through the wilderness for 40 years waiting to get to the promised land. Again, that took great patience. And there was Elijah, a man who prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. But that was a very trying time too. That took great patience, if you can imagine. No rain whatsoever for 3.5 years. Oh yes, there are many stories that required great patience. And of course we know that there was a promise of a Messiah, even all the way back in the book of Genesis. And people waited and waited and waited for that Savior to come. It took a long time. They had to wait thousands of years for that Messiah to be born. But when the time was absolutely right, absolutely perfect, we know that God put on flesh and came to this earth. It required great patience. And you know, there was a woman in the scriptures that tells us, a woman named Anna. And she was a widow for 84 years, but for all those years, she was waiting and waiting and waiting for the Messiah to come. And one fine day, the Messiah did come. And she knew when she saw that young child in the temple that the Messiah was there. Yes, she waited, 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 waited for decades. And then one fine day it happened. Yes, patience is something that we need. Patience is something that is so important. We need great patience, not only to get us through the difficult time that we're all going through right now, but we need to have continued patience waiting for our Savior. Just as they waited for Jesus to come the first time, we are still waiting for Him to come today. And that requires patience. So let's open our Bibles now to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Praise the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 1 tells us, and this is a Psalm of David, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." And we know there are evildoers out there. We know that there are workers of iniquity. They're all over the place out there. We know there are powerful people in high places who are scheming, who are causing strife, who are trying to seize the opportunities that are presented to them to work their agenda. And it seems like they're so powerful, so rich. And actually, it's strange, you know, a lot of people, their lives are in great peril right now because they've lost their jobs. They don't know how they're going to pay their bills. I saw a story actually just this morning. They're saying millions and millions of people in this country are unable to pay their credit card bills. and people have a lot of credit card debt. And right now, these companies are letting people defer their payments, but that can only go on for so long, and they are bracing themselves because they think there's going to be a lot of defaults. There's going to be a lot of bankruptcy. And we could see banks go down, too. There is a lot of trouble out there. But it's interesting because despite all of the turmoil right now, economically and otherwise, the very wealthy people in this country have been making billions upon billions upon billions of dollars. Especially Jeff Bezos, the guy who owns Amazon and the Washington Post and a bunch of other ventures. You know, he keeps buying more and more things. A couple of years ago, he bought Whole Foods to begin the slow takeover of the grocery industry. You know, he wants to buy up everything, it seems like. I mean, and he's profited greatly from this pandemic, and so have other billionaires. Some are losing their shirts, while others are thriving and making lots and lots of money. But you know, when that happens, don't fret because of evildoers. Don't be envious against the workers of iniquity. God is going to balance this all out eventually. Verse 2 tells us, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." What should we do? What should be our approach each and every day? Yeah, we don't know what the future holds, but we still approach each day doing the best we can for the Lord. Trust the Lord and do good. That is the formula for success with God. Trust in the Lord and do good. And even when things are difficult, still trust the Lord. Don't ever stop. In fact, we need to trust Him right now more than ever because we need His help now more than ever. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. God knows how to feed you. And I know right now people are even worried about that. They're worried about the food supply. And I talked about that a little earlier, how that's on very shaky ground, and we're starting to see cars line up for food banks, for handouts, for something to eat. In fact, I saw one story. There's a food bank in San Antonio, Texas, where people were so desperate for some food that they started waiting at 2 a.m. 2 a.m. Because they know that once all the food is handed out, it's gone. So they wanted to make sure they got some. People out there are getting desperate. But just remember, the Lord knows how to feed you. Now, you may not always necessarily be able to get every food item that you want. You know, you may not be able to get filet mignon and steak and all those things, but the Lord knows how to feed you, you know. And, you know, if worst came to worst, we have a walnut tree in our backyard, so God knows how to do it. He can sustain us. Verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." I like this verse so much because it tells us to rest in the Lord, and that's something that we should all be doing anyway, but this is a good reminder. We know that our rest is in Jesus Christ, and we can rest in Him every day. There are a lot of distraught people right now, but I'm thankful that we can turn to the Lord. Yes, He knows how to help us. Jesus can help us, Jesus alone, as we were singing about earlier. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. You know, there are a lot of examples, and I talked about some of them before, a lot of examples in Scripture where people had to wait a long time for their prayers to be answered. But God does answer our prayers. And it's all on His timing, not necessarily our timing. He knows when the moment is right. And we can rest in Him because we have confidence in Him. But we are to wait patiently for Him. Yes, they say patience is a virtue, and that's very true. Patience is important. It's something that really is a necessity. And these days ahead are going to require great patience. If you're going to get through this, you are going to need patience. Verse 7 tells us, I read verse 7 already. Verse 8 tells us, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You know, a lot of times when people start to get desperate, they turn to doing evil and wicked things. Don't let that happen to you. Verse 9 tells us, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Praise God. You know, I believe this verse isn't talking about the earth that we're on right now. We will inherit the earth. And we know that Jesus said that the meek shall inherit the earth. But I believe He was talking about the next one. The new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. The Jerusalem which is above is free and is the mother of us all. That is the earth that we are going to inherit. You know how I know that? Because the scriptures tell us that the earth we are on right now, this terrestrial ball, is going to burn up and be destroyed. And the reason that has to happen is because there is so much sin in this world. But the good news is, the next one that God is making for us right now will have no sin. And we know that sin can never enter there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So yes, we will inherit that earth. Verse 10 tells us, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You see, that's what we have to look forward to if we wait patiently. We may have to go through some valleys in this present life. But keep seeking God, keep waiting patiently, keep looking for those miracles that He will perform to see you through. We are going to have to rely on God now more than ever. So let's do that, and let's wait patiently for Him. And ultimately, what we are truly waiting for and longing for is that gift of eternal life, our inheritance in heaven. And when we get there, we will delight in the abundance of peace. For there, in that city where the Lamb is the light, we will be in the presence of the Prince of Peace for all eternity. You will know no greater peace than you will feel when you are in His presence. Verse 12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. All of these people working mischief in the world right now, it will all be brought to naught eventually. Sometimes that may seem impossible. It may seem like they're getting away with it, but they're not. God knows what to do. He will hold us all in judgment. People will have to answer for the things they've done. Verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. People sometimes look with envy at some of the wealth out there. And you know, there's a lot of talk about the one percenters, the people that have accrued great amounts of wealth. And they have a lot of dollars and cents. But you know what? Those dollars that they have are becoming worth less and less and less as time goes on. Because as they continue to pump more money into the economy, They're diluting the money supply, and each dollar becomes worth a little less. And you know, some of us may not have very much, but the little that we do have, the little that the righteous man hath, is better than the riches of many wicked. It tells us in verse 16. In verse 16 there. I would rather have almost nothing in this world and the promise of eternal life than all of the riches, all of the gold, all of the silver, all of the precious things, all of the money. You know, that money that they give us to play with isn't even really money anyway, you know, when you stop and think about it. You look at a dollar bill, why is that money? Because they proclaimed it to be. It's money because they say it is. But intrinsically, it's not worth very much at all. It's just a piece of paper made out of linen and cotton. And a lot of times, nowadays, they don't even give you the paper anymore. And right now, people don't want to touch it because they're afraid it has COVID-19 on it. So, it exists only on computers. It's not even real. And when you consider the national debt, for example, you couldn't print that much cash in $100 bills. It exists only on their computer systems. Little pixels on a screen. That is what money is nowadays. It's not even a real thing. You can't touch it. You can't hold it. You can't spread it out over the table. It only exists inside those computer screens. It's not even real. So it may seem like they have a lot, but I would rather have the things of God than great wealth in this world that is going to perish eventually anyway. Verse 17 tells us, "For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth all the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." I was just talking about that inheritance. It is eternal life, a gift from our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He came to accomplish. That is His gift for us. That is our inheritance. And until that wonderful day when we realize that inheritance in full, we have the earnest of our inheritance, which is the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost dwelling inside us. That's just a little foretaste of the joy that we have to look forward to in heaven. Verse 19, "They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied." We live in an evil time right now. And they're talking a lot about food shortages and famine all over the world. But if you trust in God, if you wait patiently for Him, the Scriptures tell us that we will be satisfied. Verse 20, "But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth." And you know, right now with the situation we're seeing, it presents a lot of opportunities for people to help one another, and that's a good thing. And I've seen some wonderful stories of people who have reached out to help others. It touches your heart when that happens. We're going to see more and more opportunities to do that in the days ahead. And another thing that's nice to know is that God sees that too. Not that we do it for glory, but if we have the ability and the means to help someone, we certainly should. Praise the Lord. "Because the righteous showeth mercy and giveth," it tells us in verse 21. Verse 22, "For such as be blessed of Him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of Him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand." You know, it can be difficult. And as we go through this life, we might tumble a little bit sometimes. It might be hard to keep going. But when you do stumble, we are assured that the Lord will lift you up. He'll take you by the hand. He will pull you up and He will bring you through. Verse 25, "I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Of course, we know that we can't depart from evil and do good without the Lord's help. We all need His Spirit working in us. We need His strength to do this. Because in and of ourselves, we never would. People ask sometimes, well, don't you think it's possible to be good without God? To that I answer, no, absolutely not. Any goodness we do have comes from the Lord. It is not human nature to be good. You look around at this world and we see all the trouble and turmoil. The reason for that is because there's so much sin. And people, their natural inclination is not to do good. Sometimes people will do good things, even unbelievers. But a lot of times the reason they'll do things that are good is because they have something that God has given to every man, woman, and child, a conscience. God put that within us. So sometimes even people who don't know the Lord, they might do something that's good. But that little sliver of goodness is still coming from the Lord because He's the one who put that conscience within us. Of course, there are some people who don't have a conscience. Some people are just pure evil through and through. But any goodness we do have does come from the Lord. I firmly believe that. Verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved forever. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, the saints of God are the people of God. And if you belong to the Lord right now, you are a saint right now. It's not something that happens later after you die, after you're canonized by an earthly organization. If you belong to the Lord, you are a saint right now. And the Scriptures tell us that God's saints are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Yes, we need the law of God, the word of God in our hearts. We need to read this book and absorb it. And you will find when you do that, that God's Spirit working in you will call to remembrance certain scriptures. You know, there have been times when, actually this happens quite a bit, where a sermon will come to me spontaneously, and sometimes I'll have to wait and be unsure of what I'm going to preach about on a specific Sunday, but all of a sudden it comes as a rushing mighty wind, and God starts reminding me of certain scriptures. It almost seems like it's out of the blue, but I know that that is the operation of God's Spirit. And when that happens, I know what He wants me to preach about. That's happened so many times in my life, and I tell you what, it is an awesome feeling when that does happen. There have been times I wondered, Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to preach about? And sometimes it felt like it was getting a little, close to the deadline. But the Lord has never let me down. He has always given me a message. Every time I've gotten up here to preach. And I believe that as long as He strengthens me and enables me to do this, He will continue to give me those messages. Yeah. Praise God. But we need to know the Word of God. We need to know this Scripture. When you know the Word of God, that Spirit of God working in you prompts a remembrance of those Scriptures. Verse 31, the law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. And another important reason to know the Word of God, to absorb the Word of God, is because when you do that, you will know the difference between right and wrong. A lot of people don't know the difference between right and wrong. It's confusing for people. In fact, sin nowadays is normal. If you're a single person and you tell people that you're not fornicating, they're going to look at you like you're an oddball. But we know from Scripture that you're not supposed to fornicate. That is a sin. But sin is normal in this modern society. It is the way of the majority. But thankfully, when you know the Word of God, when that Word of God is in your heart, you will know the difference between right and wrong. Verse 32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. What is the theme of this psalm that we have been reading? The theme is patience. The theme is waiting on the Lord. The theme is when we do that, he will bless us with an inheritance that is everlasting. Verse 35, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Now I ask you, are we living in a time of trouble right now? Are we living in a time of great uncertainty? We all know that that is true. But we know from whence our salvation comes. And we know where we can draw strength in the time of trouble. We draw it from our Lord and Savior. God always knows what to do. Sometimes we get stuck. But follow the prompting of His Spirit. Let Him lead you. And He will lead us through this mess that we are enduring right now. Verse 40 tells us, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. So yes, trust the Lord and wait patiently for the Lord. We get impatient sometimes. It's not always easy to wait. In fact, just this last Wednesday, I had a very trying day because they're doing road construction here. And it was interesting, too, because I believe it was Thursday, I saw an article from the Daily Citizen, and they had a picture of the road construction on South Spring Street, and right in that picture was our church. And, you know, they took the pictures right by our church here, right by this building that we're in right now, so that was in the papers. But, you know, they've been tearing up the road, and it's pretty bad right now. But on Wednesday, I had been contacted prior to that by the city. They said they wanted to work on the pipes. We had a very old pipe system here in this building. They wanted to replace those pipes. And they said, we would like to come in on Wednesday and do that. And I thought, okay, well, sure, that's fine. I can be there to let you in, you know. And so I asked, well, what time? And he says, oh, about 7:30. And I'm just thinking, oh, great, 7:30. That means I'm going to have to get up at 6 and come over here. And that's what we did, my wife and I. We got up around 6. We got here by 7, and we waited for them to get here. And, you know, they get here, right, and he talks to me a little bit right around 7:30, and the guy leading the road crew, and he says, okay, well, we have to do that greenhouse over there. We'll be over here in a couple hours to work on yours. And I'm just thinking, oh, that's great. I got up at 6 a.m. for you. But sometimes these things do try our patience. And eventually they did come over here and they worked on the pipes. And it was a little unpleasant. They actually broke a picture that we had hanging in the women's room because they wanted to open the fuse box for whatever reason. And they knocked over that picture and broke the frame. And then, you know, these guys, these kind of rough construction workers, they were right, cussing a blue streak, using the F word and all that. It was unpleasant. But they finally finished the pipes, you know, and they said, well, the pipes are done. We can get out of your hair here. And they said, a plumber is going to come, and he's going to install a new water meter. So we waited for that plumber to come, and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited, and finally, I think he showed up around 5:45 in the evening. And of course, we had Bible study here that night, so I ended up being here at the church for 14 straight hours. It was an exhausting day, but thankfully, the Lord got me through that. And these things do serve a purpose. They teach us patience. I've had other experiences in the past where I've had to learn great patience. I know there was a time, a long, long time ago now, I think I was 20 years old or so, I was flying home from the state of California and I had a layover in Chicago. My flight in California got delayed, so I missed my connection in Chicago. And there I was at O'Hare Airport. I needed a new flight, so I asked them for a new flight. And I flew home in the evening, by the way. It was quite late when I got home. Or when I got to the airport, actually, I didn't get home yet. But I had to call their number, you know, and get a new flight. And they said, well, the earliest flight we can get you on is tomorrow afternoon. So I was at O'Hare Airport all night long. And let me tell you something. O'Hare Airport is a weird and eerie place at night. They put out some cots for people, you know, but I didn't feel comfortable sleeping because I didn't want someone to come along and steal my bag or my laptop or anything. So I would lay down a little bit, but I didn't sleep. And to make matters worse, all of the restaurants were closed at the time because it was a late flight. They had no restaurants open in the airport, and they didn't have any vending machines that I could find. So I didn't have any food either. I was very hungry, but I just had to wait. There was nothing else that I could do. And I believe my flight was at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But the most frustrating thing about that was it was a flight from Chicago to Madison. It's a flight that takes 20 minutes. These things do teach you patience. We work through these things. And patience certainly is a virtue. But God brings us through, doesn't He? We've all had things we've had to go through. Things that are unpleasant. Things that we've had to wait for. But He helps us. It's very important that we learn patience, and we're going to need more and more and more of that, even in the days ahead. Now, I want to turn to Psalm 40. In Psalm 37, we read that what we should do is wait patiently for the Lord. And in this psalm, which is another psalm of David, Psalm 40, verse 1, it tells us, it starts out by saying, I waited patiently for the Lord. And what happened when David waited patiently for the Lord? And He inclined unto me and heard my cry. You know, just because you do not get an immediate response sometimes doesn't mean that He doesn't hear your cries. He does hear your cries. But He knows when the moment is right. We can only see so much. We can only discern so much and know so much. But God sees everything that is happening everywhere in the world. And He knows when the time is right to do certain things. But He does hear our cries. And verse 2 tells us, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And if you ever want to read about a man who needed great patience to get through his trials, his tribulations, his struggles, read about David. He had a difficult road to get through. He had a hostile king to whom he had done no wrong that wanted to kill him, King Saul. He had to flee for his life. He had to fight the Philistines. He had to do battle. For the entirety of his life, in his old age, he even had his own children betray him. It wasn't an easy life for David. But yet he could write this psalm, yet he knew that when he cried out to the Lord would hear his cry and the Lord would bring him through all of those struggles, all of those trials. Verse 2, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know, even as we wait patiently for the Lord and go through these struggles that we go through, He puts a song in our hearts. He puts a song in our mouths. He fills us with His joy. And we can praise our God even as we wait for Him patiently. And I tell you what, when you are feeling awful, one of the best things you can do is start singing and praising God. Worship the Lord. Because the Scriptures tell us that God inhabits the praises of His people. If you ever are in a position where you want to feel the Spirit of God and feel it quickly, start worshiping the Lord. Praise the Lord, sing unto Him, and that Spirit will be with you. That Spirit will be upon you and in you, and it will become evident to you. And it will really, really strengthen and help you. You know, yes, it's good to worship God and to sing His praises because He deserves it, but that also strengthens you. Praise God. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. It's good to just stop and ponder the wonderful works of God. And you will find that when you do that, you think about the good things that He has done, the blessings that He has poured out, His wondrous works, His miraculous deeds. And you'll think of one, then you'll think of another, and another, and another, and you can't even count them all, because there's always more. Yes, He has so many wonderful works, more than we even realize, by the way, more than we can comprehend with our human minds. But what really, truly is amazing is that He has thoughts that are to usward. He thinks about us. Isn't that amazing that God, Almighty Creator of the universe, He is so much higher and greater than all of us, thinks about us? We being the little people that we are, yet He loves us and thinks about us and takes an interest in our lives and takes action to help us, to hear our cry, to answer our prayers. Oh, that is something worth singing about. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 6 tells us, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And that verse in this psalm is actually prophetic, speaking of the Lord Jesus, who came in the volume of the book to do the Lord's will. Praise God. Verse 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Yes, we should talk about the good things that God has done for us. Not only will it help your brothers and sisters in the Lord, but it will be a witness to those who do not know the Lord. And He has done so much for us. Praise God. Verse 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let not thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Oh, yes, we need His mercy. We need His grace. We need His loving kindness. And we need His truth to continually preserve us. We need that so very much. But thankfully, we know that when we put our trust in the Lord and when we wait patiently for Him, yes, patience is a virtue that God responds to. It's something He looks for in people, something He has a deep appreciation for. When He sees that patience, it makes Him want to help you all the more. Verse 11, withhold not thou thy tender mercy from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Iniquity, sin, has an effect on people. It can weigh you down so much that you can't even look up. But thankfully, we serve a God who can take those sins away. He can take those sins out of your heart, out of your mind, and replace them with His Spirit. Praise the Lord. And when He does that, He fills you with His joy. Verse 13, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Some people are like that, you know. They'll actually laugh at Christians when they're suffering. And that's a terrible thing. We should never laugh at anyone who is suffering, whether they're Christian or not. But people have that mentality sometimes. Yet we know that when we wait patiently for the Lord, He will bring us through. He will carry us through. Verse 16, let all those that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. Let such as love Thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Let's do that. Let's say it continually. The Lord be magnified. Hallelujah. Verse 17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Isn't that wonderful? Even if you are poor and needy, the Lord still thinks about you. He thinks about you personally. To me, that is such a marvel. One that I have such a deep appreciation for. We know that when we wait patiently for the Lord, He is working behind the scenes to help His people. He will strengthen us. He will carry us through. Hallelujah. So we need to continually trust our God. We need to wait patiently. And when you wait patiently, you will start to see those miracles happen. Let's look at Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, and we're just going to look at a few verses at the end of this chapter. Of course, this is such a wonderful chapter. I've covered it many times in the past, but I like to go to this chapter because we can draw so much strength and inspiration from it. Looking at verse 28 in Isaiah 40, it tells us, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. Praise God. You know, you hear all these stories about Greek and Roman mythology, and they have all these so-called gods and goddesses that always have these little weaknesses. An Achilles heel, for example. Achilles was a so-called god, and his one weakness was that part of his body that they've now named the Achilles heel. Because, you know, that's where he was shot, and that's what eventually did him in. These so-called gods and goddesses, they have weaknesses. But our God doesn't have any weaknesses. There's no searching of His understanding. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get sleepy. He doesn't need a nap. Praise God. Verse 29 tells us, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What is going to get us through these days ahead? They're saying we could be looking at another Great Depression. Not a recession this time, but a depression. It could very easily happen. But the Lord will strengthen His people. The Lord will pull us through. The Lord will renew our strength if we wait on Him, if we wait patiently for Him. Yes, it is so important that we learn patience, that we learn to wait on God and to trust Him fully and completely. You know, I said patience is a virtue. It's something that God looks for. It is a trait that He wants to see amongst His people and in His churches. In fact, if you read the book of Revelation, and at the start of the book it talks about the seven churches, there are three churches where He specifically lists their patience as one of their good virtues. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, He's talking about the church at Ephesus. And He used His servant John to say these words, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." We see in that verse, the church at Ephesus, one of their good points, one of their strengths that was specifically mentioned was their patience. Yes, God is looking for patience. He wants us to be patient. Again, it's mentioned regarding the church at Thyatira, Revelation chapter 2, verse 19. "I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first." Yes, He's looking for patience. And again, with the church at Philadelphia, Revelation chapter 3, verses 10 through 11 tell us, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly, and hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." But yes, patience is so important. And you can look up the word in the dictionary, and when I did that, I found three definitions of patience. The first one is the quality of being patient as the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain, without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. And the second definition is an ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. And then the third definition is quiet, steady perseverance, even-tempered care, diligence. And I believe that is the kind of patience that God is looking for amongst His people. Yes, patience is so important. We need to learn to wait patiently for the Lord. We need to be steady. We need to persevere. We need to be even-tempered. We need to have care for the God's people, for the things of God. We need to have diligence. We need great patience. But you know what's really amazing? Yes, we are told in the Scriptures to wait patiently for the Lord. And in Psalm 40, we read what can happen when you do wait patiently for the Lord. But did you know that God is waiting patiently for His people? We wait patiently for the Lord, and the Lord waits patiently for us. And what I mean by that, I will explain as we turn to James chapter 5. Let's go to James chapter 5 right now, in closing. You know, we are told to be like the Lord. And there is none more patient and kind and loving and compassionate and long-suffering than our God. We should try to be like Him as much as possible. One of the ways we learn to be like the Lord is by being patient, for He is very, very patient. James chapter 5, verse 1 tells us, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten." And we're starting to see how those riches are corrupted and growing more and more corrupted. And eventually, I think this whole system is going to fail. And they may think they have so much, but great sorrow is coming, even for those who may be rich in this world. Verse 3, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Isn't that interesting? Even in the last days, it talks about wealthy people heaping together treasures. But it's not going to help them. It's not going to save them. They're not going to buy their way out of judgment. There's no get out of hell free card that you can purchase. Their riches are not going to save them. They're not going to help them. Those riches are corrupted. Verse 4, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You know, this world has always been corrupt, and we see corruption even to this day. And you know, even before this outbreak, this pandemic happened, I heard stories about Amazon, about how they treat their employees so poorly. And they say in some of these facilities, they work their employees to just sheer exhaustion. Some of these people, as they go back and forth throughout the warehouse, gathering these products off the shelves to send off to customers, they can walk 15 to 20 miles a day just doing that. They run their employees ragged, and right now they've been doing the same thing. A lot of Amazon employees have been complaining that they're not being provided for with the security, with the safety protections they need, the masks and so forth, and they have to work in close quarters with others, and some of these facilities, they say the disease is spreading. It's a sad thing. But I tell you what, God sees that. And while it may seem like Jeff Bezos is getting richer and richer and richer, and you know, I read that he's gained, I think it was $25 billion since this outbreak started, he's going to lose that all eventually. It may seem impossible, but he's going to have to answer to God for all these shady practices. God sees it when people are oppressed. He sees the fraud. Now, verse 5 tells us, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Verse 7 tells us, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Now, this is a very interesting verse because it's telling us to be patient, to wait patiently for the Lord. And yet it also tells us that the Lord waits patiently for us because he is gathering his flock together. He is gathering his people together. And when the harvest is complete, the Lord Jesus is coming back to this world to judge. But until that happens, until all who repent have repented, he is patiently waiting and gathering his people. And that fills me with such a joy. Aren't you glad he waited for you? And the fact that he hasn't come back yet tells me that there are more people out there who are going to repent and turn to the Lord. And that fills me with great joy as well.
Yes, thank you.
There's going to be more people who repent. There's going to be more people who are baptized. There's going to be more people who are filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, praise the Lord. Amen.
Why? Because of the patience of the Lord. Oh yes, it tells us, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Oh yes, those prophets had to endure so much too, didn't they? They had to endure great affliction, and they certainly had to demonstrate great patience. Verse 11, Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Of course, we know that story and everything that Job went through, and it seemed like everything was getting worse than it was for a time, but the Lord brought him through all of that because Job never lost his patience. Verse 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And a prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And it's wonderful that God does heal our bodies, but even more wonderful is the fact that he takes our sin away. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Yes, we know that story, how it did not rain for 3 years and 6 months, and enduring those 3 years and 6 months required great patience on the part of Elijah. Yet the Lord sustained him every step of the way. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Praise the Lord. But what we're going to need to get through these days ahead is great patience. And thankfully, we know that our God has great patience for us as well. I'm so thankful for that. Aren't you thankful that he gave you the opportunity to repent? And it fills me with joy to know that there's going to be others. So, we continue to wait patiently for the Lord, and he continues to wait patiently for his flock. But we see the necessity and the importance of patience. So let's learn that virtue. Let's apply it to our lives. Let's learn to be patient as much as we possibly can be, because it is so very important. Patience and endurance is what is going to get us through this conflict in the days ahead. And always, always, always trust the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this day, thanking thee, O God, for all that thou hast done. We thank thee, Lord, that we can trust thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou would give us all great patience to wait on thee, to seek thee fully and completely. We pray, O God, that we would seek thy spirit and seek thy will. We pray, O God, that we would seek to hear thy voice. We pray, O God, that thou would reveal thy deep things to us, for we long to know the deep things of God. And we pray, Lord, that thou would sustain us in the days ahead. Strengthen all thy people. Strengthen this entire congregation. Strengthen all of thy Christians gathered all over the world. We pray, O God, that thou would be with thy people. Lift them up. And we pray, Lord, that thou would draw others to repentance. We pray, Lord, that others would come to thee and seek thee, O God. That they would fall down on their knees, seeking thee with a whole heart, waiting on thee, O God, waiting patiently for thy deliverance, Lord. We ask, O God, that thou would be with each and every one of us. We pray, O God, that thou would lead us every step of the way, guide our steps, and walk with us for the entirety of our lives, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are going to sing a chorus in closing. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn to number 48 in the chorus book and sing that chorus, They That Wait Upon the Lord, number 48. they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. That wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, God. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you all. Be safe out there and keep trusting the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.